Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Renzi.
That would be a little weird. Yeah, I think we've done that before, but
well, you know
it's
what?
Fine.
I mean, I can't keep.
We're running out of places.
Yeah, I can't. Well, I mean, no, I don't think that we're running out of places as much because there are still a ton of these little towns across the state. It's just I can't remember.
Right.
You know, I just can't. I can't.
And you can't keep. I mean, if you kept tabs on it, it'd be too difficult.
Yeah.
So. That would just be. That's just too much.
Exactly. So tomorrow, Thursday, is the Palmer Home Radiothon on Super Talk, and Strange Brew Coffeehouse is once again generously supporting us. 20% of all sales from the Strange Brew locations in Starkville, Brupolo in Tupelo, Churn and Spoon here in Starkville, plus any online sales, 20% goes straight to the Palmer Home for Children. So you can help us out, and you can get some great coffee. If you're in those two cities, please come by for your morning brew, or if you're just away from town, shop online and pick up something up tomorrow that'll help us out at for the Palmer Home Radiothon. A lot of great kids need your help, and you can help us by buying Strange Brew coffee. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. That's what the flyer they gave me says, or the little thing that they drew up. They're like, Brian, read this, and I immediately was like, no. No, I'm going to do my own read, and I'm going to tell people how it is. And how it is this. If you're a Mississippi State fan and you own a business, you're doing Mississippi State and your business a disservice by not working with Pip Printing and Signs. Never mind that they're the best in the business, and they're going to get you set up with incredible marketing materials that you cannot get anywhere else, that, you know, the kind of quality we're talking about here. But they're going to donate 10% of your sale right back to the Bulldog Initiative. You become a Bulldog Initiative business just by spending the money you already spend monthly on printing. That is a no-lose situation. That's a win-win. Everybody benefits from that. Call Cam Baker at 601-499-5216. Tell him you heard about this on Thunder and Lightning. You want to do business with Pip Printing and Signs. That's a decision you will not regret. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and you are looking for it. You're looking for great new gear with the logos that you want to see, the interlocking, the M over S, the state script, or in my case today, Robbie, the walking bully. I hope Paul Jones isn't going to come by at any point. He might see me wearing a walking bully polo, and he'll get upset at me.
He believes those need to be on a quilt.
On a quilt only. I don't know. I like this shirt. This is a gift from our friend Joel T. Coleman.
So, I love it.
You know why I really like it? I can tuck it in now. I'd be able to tuck this in. So I can do that now. And yeah, I need to go get some new stuff too. So College Corner will be the place to do that. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, flowing by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Ben 612 is a place to go for lunch that maybe you haven't been lately. You need to check it out. Ben 612 has a great menu with things that, you know, it's going to be easy to please people when you decide, hey, let's go eat today at Ben 612. They just have a tremendous selection there of sandwiches, of burgers, of pizza, tacos, and of course the famous cheese fries. They got a great kids menu as well. So this is a place you can bring the family. It's a place you can stop by on your lunch break from work. And of course, you're right there in the middle of the Cotton District. Great spot to be. If you haven't been to Ben 612 for a meal lately, you need to go check them out over there in the heart of the Cotton District at Ben 612. Priority One Bank, 16 locations throughout Central Mississippi. They're here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide to show you the location nearest you and to show you what they can do for you and your money. You did the hard work. You got the money to the bank. Let the bank take it from there. Let them show you how to invest. Let them give you a lot of services for money management, and let them show you the kind of service that you deserve as a Priority One Bank customer. Again, 16 locations throughout Central Mississippi. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. It is Rumblings Day here on the podcast, which means we've got some questions that need to be answered, Robbie. And I think you're going to have to be the one to do it, me and you. Are you up for the challenge?
I am ready.
Let's do it then. We'll jump right in with our first question today from Matthew Watkins, who asks us, let's see here. John Cena announced his retirement at Money in the Bank. By the way, just what percentage of our listeners, when the first question comes in from the Rumblings and it's a wrestling question, they just go, damn it. They're just not happy. There's an easy way to fix that, though, folks. You could be the first question and ask whatever you want.
Yeah, hurry up.
Announced his retirement at Money in the Bank. I was a kid during his entire run. He's always been my favorite. I know his character catered more towards kids, but I wonder how you perceived him as adults. Cena was at his biggest. When he was at his biggest, that's when I got out of wrestling because I was just tired of Cena at that time. I was just tired of him. It was like he couldn't lose. It was just annoying. I just didn't care for it. I thought when he won the U.S. title, he became so much better as a wrestler. Like his matches before were just, they were so formulaic. They were the same five moves. And then he started wrestling guys like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and Cesaro, and he really stepped up his game as a wrestler. And I think this last part of his career, to me, has been the best part of his career. I've really enjoyed what John Cena has become as an ambassador, as a you know, you can't fault his work away from the ring and all the great stuff that he's done. But I think as a wrestler, he's really been great this last, say, 10 years of his career. The CM Punk match where Punk leaves WWE for a time period, and just great matches, I thought. So I have a lot of respect for Cena. Is he my GOAT? No. But is he one of the GOATs? Yes.
Yeah, I think so for sure. I mean, you talk about the longevity. He wrestled, you know, almost every show, it seemed like he was either wrestling or he was on until he started getting into movies and stuff, kind of like The Rock. But he, you know, he's kind of transcended now several eras of wrestling. He was basically in right smack dab in the middle of the Attitude Era. He came in like right in the middle of the Attitude Era when it was starting to switch over to that ruthless aggression, whatever. And I think he was kind of like at the forefront of that, but he was in the middle of that. He was in there with, you know, it was after Stone Cold, but you had, you know, Hulk Hogan had come in and you had had the brand split, whatever. Like he was right in the middle of that. And then he did the Ruthless Aggression era. He was at the forefront of that. The, I don't know what you would call it, the PG era, I guess. He was kind of the reason for all that. But he just has been, you know, steady the whole way. And to be a babyface for that long, he's been a babyface basically longer than Hulk Hogan was.
Mm-hmm.
Hulk Hogan, who was the biggest babyface of all time, probably, was a heel. You know, he goes and turns Hollywood Hulk Hogan, and that blew everybody's mind. They never flipped the switch with John Cena after he became a full-on face. They never flipped it. And everybody wanted to see it. I won't say everybody. All of the people like you and I wanted to see it. But they never did. And a credit to them for that because, you know, it worked. And whether you liked him or not, he got everybody talking. The crowd was usually split. Let's go Cena. Cena sucks. All that stuff. Pretty cool. But as we know, nobody ever truly retires from wrestling. He will continue to do something in wrestling even beyond this. He just won't be a active wrestler, I guess.
Yeah, that seems likely. Matthew also asks, who was your guy during your childhood wrestling fandom? I mean, I grew up in the peak Flair Hogan days. I mean, obviously, in Dusty Rhodes. I loved the Road Warriors. I loved Magnum TA before his accident. Over in WWE, I loved Ricky Steamboat before he came to WCW. And still, I loved him. I mean, my favorite match of all time is Flair Steamboat at the Chi-Town Rumble. Yeah, I mean, that's my guys.
Mine was, you know, obviously Attitude Era was when I really got into it, and it was Sting probably was, you know, the height of my wrestling fandom as a kid, WCW, WWF, going head to head, and I spent more time watching WCW during that time, and it was definitely Sting for me. But all time, strangely, it's Chris Jericho, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about him, but I always loved Chris Jericho. Like I remember vividly watching Monday Night Raw the night that he debuted in WWF. And that was just a bizarre thing to see, is him coming out on that stage going head to head with The Rock, because, you know, a week or so, I think earlier, he was on Nitro. And to see him on WWF, it was like surreal. And from then on, like that entrance, that debut always stuck with me. And I remember where I was. I was at my friend's house. We were upstairs watching on one of those like 15-inch TVs, those little bitty square TVs that they had.
Yeah.
We're up there watching it, and I couldn't take my eyes off of it. And I was a Jericho guy from then on.
Last one from Matthew. Last week, you talked about a Mississippi State Hall of Fame. If it were up to you, who would be the first five people to induct? I think we're going to do one from let's go big sports here.
And we this is like all time, every sport.
Yeah. I'm going to go Dak, Bailey Howe. I'm putting in Clark and Palmeiro together, and LaToya Thomas. That's your first class.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's somebody that deserves it over that group. I mean, it's hard to argue. You kind of take all the big sports there. And I mean, that's not including, like, you know, maybe like a Don McGruder Scott or somebody like that, that was a Olympian. And
right, we'll get them eventually, but like your first five, I think.
Yeah, it needs to have relevance to like the current, like everybody needs to know who these people are, I think, exactly. Just to kind of get it going.
You can't just throw, like, you know, all these old people in at first. You bring them in slowly because you want excitement for that first group.
So right.
That's the group, I think.
I really would love – I know they already have like a M-Club Hall of Fame or whatever, but I would really love a physical Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
At Mississippi State, where you have all your trophies, you have, you know, bust statues or whatever of everybody in the Hall. I know that's a lot of money, but I think that would be really cool. Like something that people can come visit.
Yeah, I agree. All right, next question comes to us from Nathan Kelly, who says, with the 4th of July festivities behind us now, what dip goes best with Fritos? So that's I think the fact that it's Fritos makes it interesting, right? A little more hearty chip. It can stand up to a little bit stronger dip. Like Fritos, to me, is like 7-layer dip.
That's yes.
I would think.
Very good choice. I'm going corn on corn. Corn on corn crime.
Corn dip.
Corn dip.
Mm.
I love Fritos and corn dip.
Street corn dip is, yeah, it's good stuff.
Bean dip is really good.
Yeah, something that you get the scoop action going there, yeah.
Right.
Salsa. If it's just queso, salsa and queso, I would think you just want, like, Tostitos are fine. A little thin, crispy chip.
Yeah.
Thicker chip. I want to be able to get down in the dip there.
Yeah, but Fritos and salsa is still pretty good.
Okay. All right. Let's see here. Colton Watson comes in. Rank these in terms of how much of a positive impact they would make on MSU. Dak wins NFL MVP, Super Bowl, and Super Bowl MVP. Bednar becomes an all-star ace for a contending team. Landon Sims becomes an all-star closer for a contending team. MSU gets a top five NBA draftee who plays 15 years and is a perennial all-star / MVP candidate. Multiple Bulldogs win gold medals in the Olympics. The bottom three pale in comparison to what it would mean for State if Dak Prescott were to win NFL MVP, Super Bowl MVP, and win a title. That'd be so huge for State's marketing.
It's definitely NFL.
Yeah, then the next one is the NBA guy. If let's say, just use Hubbard. I don't think Hubbard is a top five pick, but let's just use him. If Hubbard were to go to the next level and become like another Steph Curry kind of player, Mm-hmm. That would be massive for Mississippi State.
Yeah, see, and that to me is different than Dak too, because Chris Jans would have actually coached
mm-hmm.
that MVP.
Right, right. I see what you're saying.
Now, 15 plus years, that part maybe not, but say, you know, Riley Kugel or somebody like that gets in the NBA and just starts going off. That's really big for Chris Jans' recruiting effort. It's like what Ben Hallen used to do with Russell Westbrook and Collison and Kevin Love and guys like that. That's what you would be able to do is say, like, I can get you to the league. That's the one thing that Mississippi State has been lacking
mm-hmm.
in the NBA or in the basketball side of things is I just haven't had any, like, NBA guys.
No. I mean – I thought could maybe play in the NBA, but it just hasn't worked out.
Q is the closest thing. I mean,
I thought Moultrie could be an NBA guy, but that turned out not to be the case. And yeah, so there you go. Also from Colton, I watched The Godfather for the first time recently. Is Michael Corleone the chosen one who tried to reject his fate until it caught up with him, or the hero that lived long enough to see himself become the villain? I think there's a third one here, and that's where I think Michael Corleone knew all along that he wanted to take over his father's business. I think I think every move along the path was planned that way for him so that he could. I think he was that smart that he was always thinking ahead to that day would come where I will be the sitting in the chair where my father sits.
Yeah, he was always kind of the methodical one in the group, too. You know, he had the most business sense. He wasn't a hothead like Sonny.
Right.
You know, he'd like Fredo was like a snake. He wasn't really snaky. He was just a perfect fit for that position. Took him a while to really get into it, but he did it.
Yeah. Ben Wadsworth has questions. Nice seat today, EW. Hey, Dad. Thank you. I bought early. What did you say to Big Trouble Ben Bishop after he got squashed? So Ben Bishop was on the card. Saturday night.
So was Marco Stunt.
He was. That was surprising. Apparently, I was sitting right in front of his, right behind his parents too.
And oh, really?
With their kid, who was Robbie this big? All right, that's definitely Marco Stunt's kid because that's like a newborn baby, but it was tiny. They had the headset on him and everything, trying to keep the noise out. But I said, "Hey, our friend Brandon Walker says hello." Because when
did he recognize you? Does he know who you are?
Ben doesn't know me at all. But as soon as he walked out, I was like, "Oh God, it's Ben Bishop!" And he looked and like, who the hell would know who I am? And so I immediately texted Brandon. I was like, "Your boy Ben Bishop is on the card here tonight." He's like, "Really?" I was like, "Yeah, they're taping for Rampage here, and he's wrestling Roderick Strong." He's like, "Oh, that's great." So he's like, "Tell him, you know, hey." So as he walked by, I gave him a high five. I was like, "Our buddy Brandon Walker says hello," and he just went, "Oh God." Just kept walking. So,
put his head down and walked.
He's like, as if getting squashed wasn't enough. Now I've brought up Brandon Walker, who's in town today. I don't know if you saw. He's doing not in this town. He's over at West Point giving them their state championship rings.
I saw that he was wearing a Letterman's jacket that was fairly small.
I wonder who he borrowed it from. It's not like he lettered in a sport there, is it?
He played basketball, didn't he?
He did play basketball. Yeah, that's true. Also, how can Tony Khan be so bad on the mic? Wait, the guy's not a wrestler. He's a business owner. I mean,
how can he be so bad at booking?
Well, that's a different question. He has some moments that are good.
Same thing.
Yeah.
He's just like a random fan that just happens to be a billionaire.
Yeah. For Robbie, when will England's Euro luck finally run out?
I mean, it ran out in the late 1770s.
I like that.
Hey, you know who Tony Khan reminds me of, by the way? You remember on Benchwarmers, like the millionaire on there, like the kid that's a millionaire and like he's not good enough to actually be on the team, so he just buys himself on the team and his dad ends up like building a stadium and stuff. That's who Tony Khan reminds me of, that kid.
It's a little bit like that. Yeah, I get it. Steve Mormon wants us to rank these This Thing of Ours movies and shows. The Godfather, The Godfather 2, Goodfellas, which he spelled Goodfellows. That's just funny. Casino, The Sopranos.
Ooh.
You know, honestly, I would just change The Sopranos and Casino. I would go Godfather, Godfather 2, Goodfellas, Sopranos, Casino.
See, I don't know. It's probably sacrilegious.
Haven't seen Casino?
No. I've seen all these. Okay. But it's probably sacrilegious for me to say this because considering this basically derived from all these movies, but Sopranos to me is number one.
Who?
Just for me.
No!
Like I said, everybody's going to be upset about that, but I enjoy The Sopranos more than I do The Godfather. And I realize that The Sopranos happens because of The Godfather.
And it's just different because it's a show. So there's like so many different. I mean, The Godfather is 3 hours. We're going to get you from point A to point B. Sopranos is seven or six seasons of different stories. So I get where you're coming from. I just love it. I love it.
But have you seen The Irishman?
I haven't seen it, no.
I'm surprised you haven't seen that. A lot of the same vibes.
Man. I know.
It's very long.
That's what she said.
I don't know if I could watch it again, to be honest with you. It's just it's so lengthy and it's kind of slow in parts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was good, though.
Papa Crawdad asks, which wrestling stable had the better run, the Nation of Domination, the Ministry of Darkness, or the Hart Foundation? So,
I think Nation of Domination.
Really?
Yeah.
See, the Nation of Domination, like, The Rock is the breakout star from that. I get that. I think it's the Hart Foundation.
And we're talking about stables here. So we're talking about Hart Foundation with like Brian Pillman, Owen Hart.
Yeah. Pillman, Hart, Neidhart, British Bulldog, and of course, Brett. Nation, you've got. Yeah. Talking about Nation.
They had Rock, that.
D'Lo, Mark Henry, and The Godfather.
I just thought the Nation of Domination, like, it was during that time, it was like. I want to say kind of like taboo to have a group like that.
Yeah.
But it also spawned one of the greatest stars in the history of wrestling.
You're not wrong.
And I don't think he becomes what he became without going into the Nation of Domination.
Yeah.
Because he turned heel. Everybody was chanting, die, Rocky, die. Mm-hmm. Rocky sucks. All that stuff when he was like that John Cena, like babyface type guy. So he goes into Nation Domination. That made him like the heel that he would become. Because remember, he had the feud with Farouk, where he wanted to be the leader and all that stuff. That's why I think Nation Domination is number one. Hart Foundation had that good little run, like up against Stone Cold. And remember, they had the Calgary Stampede or whatever, the flagpole mm-hmm. match.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was pretty cool. But
yeah.
I just don't know if it really. Spawned off anything special.
There weren't like young, the guys who were in there were already made when that group came together.
Like yeah.
Hart, Owen Hart, those guys were already superstars. Whereas that was the Nation, The Rock was this young guy who took the ball and ran with it. So it's just two different kind of things, I guess.
Yeah.
Josh Patrick asked, could you see Caleb Cunningham having the same effect on MSU football that Luther Burden III has had for Missouri, big-time recruit that stays close to home and changes the trajectory of a program? There's something to that, like Missouri was not a whole lot going on, but then they get Burden in, and now look at them. I mean, they're putting together a great recruiting class. You know, state. That's why the state needs to win this battle. They need to get that guy on to get other big-time guys in. They all want to – big-time guys want to play with big-time guys.
Caleb Cunningham, to me, is kind of – what Victoria Vivian's was for Mississippi State.
Good.
Whenever she was signed, I mean, it was one of those deals where like it was always tough for Mississippi State to get elite high school players in the state of Mississippi in women's basketball. Like after LaToya and Tan, like they just couldn't get them. Like you had April Sykes who was like 10 minutes away and you couldn't get her to come to school. She went to Rutgers. And so that was like the breaking the barrier move for Vic Schaefer when he was able to win that battle for Victoria Vivian's. And, you know, 3 years later, they're in the Final Four and playing for a national championship. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen with Jeff Lebby if they get Caleb Cunningham, but just to show that you can win a battle for an elite target in your state against Ole Miss, Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Tennessee, that would be game-changing for Jeff Lebby. It sends a message that Duke can recruit. So, I mean, it's a big battle for Jeff Lebby and Chad Bumpus to get him. I don't know what would happen with the program getting a guy like that. It's just one piece. But it certainly would be a nice step forward for this program to have a five-star. I mean, you've signed two of them in the last, you know, 8-9 years or whatever with Jeffrey Simmons and Charles Cross, and basically three in the last decade when you add in Chris Jones. But they just don't come along that often where you have a chance right here to grab them. So they got to win this one.
Let's do one more before we go to the break. It's from Dalton Lee, who asked, my wife and I have noticed that almost all our friends' relationships have an introvert and an extrovert in the dynamic. He is the introvert and his wife is the introvert. How would you label yourselves in your marriage? Is he talking about us as a couple, or are we talking about our actual marriages?
I think he's talking about the marriage, like our marriage is separate.
Okay. Well, in my case, I am the extrovert and Jennifer is the introvert.
Is she?
Mm-hmm. Well, just because she just that one.
The lady comment. that called some guy a pedophile.
She was a little into the grape that night, right? Under normal circumstances, yes, I am a more extroverted person.
You know, honestly, at heart, I'm probably more introverted than Becky is.
Mm-hmm.
But I just kind of like, it's just become a natural thing for me. Like, I kind of force myself to be extroverted a lot in like settings where I'm around a lot of people or something like that. I mean, it's my dad in me. My mom's very introverted, and she's always been like the, you know, stand by my dad's side kind of person. Mm-hmm. And my dad does all the talking, all that stuff. Like, I've had to, over time, like, become that. Like, and it comes and goes. Sometimes I don't want to talk to anybody. Like, I just want to sit there by myself. Like, sometimes I'll go eat by myself, and I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want to sit there and eat.
I do that.
And then sometimes I want to be around a group of people. It just comes and goes. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I mean, I think that Becky's probably more naturally extroverted than I am.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, there you go. All right. Let's move into the final questions here, and that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council. Let's share a story with them, Robbie. Earlier, before the show starts, Robbie's like, hey, I'm going to send you a picture. I just want you to react of what I'm cooking right now. And I was like, I didn't take a picture of what I'm cooking. And he sends me a picture, and he's got a Mississippi pot roast going in the crock pot. And I just look and I go, seriously? Because that's what I've got going in the crock pot, too. It's Mississippi pot roast day here on Thunder and Lightning. Yes.
Woo!
Love it. We love it.
The only thing I wish is, first of all, I text my mom today and I said, do you happen to have like a loaf of bread that you've cooked today?
Mm.
I would love a fresh loaf of bread if you just, because sometimes she'll just cook a few and just have and give it out or whatever. She did not, because let me tell you, buddy, if you put that pot roast on top of a freshly baked bread that's, you know, the homemade bread, it is amazing. Mm-hmm. And my dad had a loaf, but they're not coming this way. So she's going to bring me some tomorrow. I wanted that, and then I want mashed potatoes badly. But Becky does not like potatoes. So
that's an issue.
I don't know. We'll get some rice or something.
I've got potatoes. It's just some instant potatoes. Nothing fancy.
That's all you need.
That's all you need. I'm going to do some peas with it, too.
Ooh, English peas?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So,
can't wait.
The thing about Mississippi pot roast is this: an idiot could make it, which is evidenced by Robbie and I doing it. It is the most foolproof recipe on the face of the planet. It is literally a hunk of meat, open two packets of seasoning, pour in some peppers, put in a stick of butter, and walk away. That's the end of the recipe. So make it this weekend. You will. Some salt would be. You don't need a whole ton, though, because there's a lot of salt in the ranch and the au jus. So.
Oh, yeah.
So beef. It's what's for dinner tonight. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked southern soul food that you are looking for. And you are looking for it. You want a prime rib sandwich. You want some tacos. You want smoked wings. You can get those things at Two Brothers right now. Enjoy a great time there. Or if you're up for something a little bit more upscale, like a fancy sandwich, well, then we've got you covered at the Older Brother in the old Two Brothers location. Great sandwiches there. I have been craving that croque monsieur that I had the first time I was there, and I haven't been able to get back over there. I need to do that very, very soon. So it won't be long now before I'm back at the Older Brother. You need to go to the Older Brother. You need to go to Two Brother Smoked Meats the next time you want to enjoy a great meal here in Starkville. Great products and great service is what every business likes to promise you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they've been doing that now for 49 years. 49 years of taking care of their customers with great service after the sale. Don't get me wrong, the sale is important. You know, you want to be able to buy a top quality product. You don't want to pay too much for it. You want to talk to good, friendly people when you're making that sale. But it's a lot more important what happens after the sale and what happens when something eventually goes wrong. It's a piece of machinery. It's going to break down at some point. It's nice to know that the good folks at Advantage Business Systems can take care of you. So give them a call today at 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you're at the games this fall, you need to be at Maroon & Co. If you're going to shop here in Starkville, or if you want to shop online at maroonandco.com, wherever it is, you can find great stuff that you probably can't find anywhere else. They have a really tremendous selection of MSU gear, all of the logos that you want. If you want the Bulldog Initiative gear, it's available to you only at Maroon & Co. They are the exclusive provider. Custom cowbells from the Bellsmith. A tremendous selection of tailgating gear, stuff for the house, stuff for your car, cups. It's just never ending what you can find at Maroon & Co. Before you're at Davis Way this fall, make sure you make a trip to Maroon & Co. All right, back into it here. Brogan Fairchild, if you could be a character in any cartoon, who would you be? Can I be Jessica Rabbit's boyfriend? Good Lord.
Yeah.
That's probably the best choice. I'd like to be Superman if I can't get that one.
Not Batman?
Yeah, you know, the money's cool, but I'd rather be basically a god. Yeah.
I thought that you were a Batman guy.
I am a Batman guy. I prefer Batman. But if I have a choice, wouldn't you rather be the guy who can fly and is basically invulnerable?
Do you want to live forever is the question.
I don't think Superman will live forever. I don't think he's immortal.
So, well, he is within reason. I mean, everything dies, you know, like an alligator doesn't die of old age.
Probably very.
It dies of, like, you know, maybe like a disease or something like that. He has the kryptonite. I mean, everybody's got something, but he's basically, I guess technically he's not immortal, because if he was immortal, nothing would kill him, but. Right. Unless somebody gets kryptonite and puts it on him and then shoots him in the head or something.
I'm just saying, he's going to die of old age eventually, though. Superman.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he's not immortal.
No, I don't think he is. I think he lives forever.
I don't know. I don't think that's the case.
I don't know. I don't know how that works, to be honest with you. He was killed by Doomsday, was he not? So
he was, but then he came back to life.
Yeah, so there we go.
Yeah. Who's your cartoon? Who would you want to be?
I don't know.
You like to be Archie? Maybe you can choose between Veronica and what's the other one's name?
Who?
Archie.
Oh, I never got into that.
Yeah, but you know.
The comics?
Yeah, what was his Betty. Betty and Veronica, yeah. You got two good looking girls coming after you, you know?
Yeah. Wasn't that like based out of the '50s?
Yeah.
Riverdale or something like that?
Yes, correct. Okay. Correct. All right. Also, go ahead.
I don't know. Okay. This is one of those questions. Like, I need more time to think about it.
I got you. What are you most looking forward to asking Chapin at SEC Media Days? I have a couple questions. One, his thoughts on barbecue. He's a Texas guy. But more importantly,
well, he's a Shreveport guy.
I mean, he lived in Waco, though, for what, three years?
But he lived in Shreveport for
Shreveport is basically years. Texas. Anything north of I-20 in Louisiana, you're in Texas. You're in East Texas at that point.
I'll ask him, do you consider yourself from Texas or do you consider yourself from Louisiana? We'll see what he says.
I'll just be a jerk, why don't you? I also want to ask him, more importantly and actually, I've asked Lebby why Chapin, so I'm going to ask Chapin why Lebby, basically.
Yeah.
You know, that question. Why did you want to be a part of this?
Right.
All right.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I want to know about his recruiting process and how everything went from interest to, like you said, like why he chose Mississippi State, why he chose Lebby. Because we haven't been able to talk to him. I think Paul talked to him maybe in recruiting, like when he committed. But other than that, we didn't get a chance to talk to him in the spring at all. He talked to the Manning Passing Academy, to the media there. That's it.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to hearing that. And also, I'd like to know from him, like, I always like to know who's standing out to the players, like in practices, workouts.
Yeah.
What players have been really impressive to him? That's usually when you get to know the guys that are, next up, or the guys to watch for during the season.
Yeah. Jay in Baltimore, watching Euro 2024 has made me realize how awesome the knee slide celebration is. What are your favorite sports celebrations of all time? I love a good bat flip.
Yep.
Loved the icky shuffle back in the day.
Yes. The Bengals, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I love
them.
Jimmy Graham slam dunking the ball after a touchdown over the goalpost. Big fan of that.
Good. The Gronk spike.
I like the ice in the veins. I like that.
The horns down.
I don't know. Is that really a celebration? I feel like it's more of a taunt.
Yes, that's a celebration.
Okay. I mean, I like it. I won't lie to you. So,
taunting and celebrating too.
Okay. Those are my options there. What about you? Anything I missed?
I always love a good, well thought out celebration in the NFL, like bowling over the linemen, doing the roller coaster thing where everybody lines up like they're on the roller coaster and you're doing this and all that. Always love that kind of stuff.
Okay. Zach Huzak, if not State, do you know where you'll start your first EA college football dynasty yet? I'm thinking OC at Kennesaw State or Oregon State. No, it's State. I'm going to coach. Didn't we ask this last week? Mississippi State goes first.
Yes.
I don't know.
It's like the camera eating first.
Yes, yes. John Samuel Daly asks, you're preparing one dish for
Gordon. John Daly?
That's what it says, John Daly, yeah. So I guess as far as I'm concerned, that is actually John Daly. You're preparing one dish for Gordon Ramsay to publicly critique. What are you making? We're just making Mississippi pot roast. It's foolproof. Again, we can't possibly screw it up.
Yes.
I might make some actual mashed potatoes for that, but, you know.
I just want to interrupt real quick because this keeps happening.
Well, what's going on?
It's happening even now as we record. Guys, if you want a question asked on the Rumblings, you have to tweet it at us. I'm not going through the DMs and sending my DMs to Hey Dad. You have to. So just a precursor. Brian has made these rules. I want to reiterate, these are Brian's rules.
They are my rules.
You have to tag myself and Brian in the tweet.
You don't even have to tag Robbie. You just have to tag me.
Yeah, but I would prefer me too, I'm so I can follow along.
It's not, because I'm the one who reads the questions, it's not imperative that you tag Robbie, but it is preferred.
But I would like to have my name in there too, so I can follow the mentions. But you have to do that, and then you have to go to your post. When you're making the post, there's a little globe at the bottom in blue writing. Click on that globe. It says everyone can reply on it at first. Go down to only accounts you mention. Select that, make the tweet, boom. Now, you'll have to go back when you make your next tweet and change it back that everyone can reply. It's a pain in the butt, I know. But you will not get your question answered if you do not tweet directly to us.
That's right. No Facebook messages.
A quick PSA, because there's a lot of people that I think came in late on this, and I'm not going to explain it, you know, word for word like that every week.
Yeah.
But I do try to in the tweet that I make, but you've got to tag us both lock it up the mentions.
There are some people who have privileges that they can just text us and be like,
yes.
And I'm willing to do that for some people. Those people do favors for us, though. They're not just Joes.
So. We will bend over backwards for these people.
Yes. So for Dog69420, not so much. Not so much.
Why do you always pick on Dog69420?
Not a fan. You should be picking on anonymous accounts, too. You just need to calm down. Cameron Worm, is Chris Parson a good
Big Worm?
Big Worm? I got to remember to do that when he asks questions. Is Chris Parson a good fit for the new offense in 2025? I hope it's not a new offense in 2025, Robbie. I hope it's the same offense, personally.
Yeah, he is equipped for it, I think. He's got a good arm on him.
Good arm, and he can move. What's not to like? So
yeah. I do think that, you know, it's obviously first and foremost you want to have a guy that can throw the football. That's kind of the key for all quarterbacks. But I think the quarterback in this offense needs to be able to escape the pocket and move around a little bit. The best guys that have run it seem to be guys that can escape and pick up a lot of grass, you know, when things break down. So, and that's something that's been missing for a little bit. But I think Chris Parson is definitely capable of running it.
If you owned an exotic pet, what would it be? I have owned an exotic pet. I used to live with a guy who we had a caiman.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I would love to have a giraffe in my backyard.
You went big. Can the giraffe actually be a pet?
Like, I just want to look in the back and the giraffe's eating the top of the tree.
Yeah.
Like, can I do that?
You just want to be like on Coming to America, where they just look out the window and there's just giraffes.
Yes.
I got you. Okay.
But a kangaroo would be fun.
Oh, you say that. Those things are vicious. Vicious killers.
They are, but you got to be – I mean, you can raise them.
I guess.
You can raise them good.
All right. DJ Smith, do you believe State can ever get back to number one in the nation one day in football? Also, I'm picking us to upset Ole Miss this year in the Egg Bowl. It's a bold prediction. Can they get back to number one? I mean, I didn't think they could get to number one in the first place, so it would be foolish to say no, but a lot would have to go right. I'll say this. If State starts off 6-0 this year, they'll be number one.
Yes. That's the thing, is that it's like – you will get there. If you're in the SEC and you start off strong, you will continuously move up in the polls.
If State starts off with wins over Eastern Kentucky, Arizona State, Toledo, Florida, Texas, and Georgia, they will surefire be number one in the nation when they play Texas A&M. I'll be willing to bet almost anything.
Yes. So
when both those games on the road, too, at Texas and at Georgia, you're number
one. There is a percentage chance that they could.
Yes.
It is not zero.
Not zero. It is not zero.
It's one. It's probably one.
It's not even one. It's like 0.00005 or something. It's down there. But does exist. Statistically, it does exist. So, Coleman Fry, if you could go back in time and change the colors from maroon. We get this question all the time. I don't understand why people don't like. I like maroon and white. Why would I want to change them? I don't want to change the colors. Please stop asking the color change question. There is no good answer for it. I mean, what am I going to say here, Robbie? Once again,
powder blue is what you're looking for.
I mean, this is one of those things, but once again, I'm going to have to rant here. Like, what is the correct answer? If I say red and blue, people will be like, what? Oh, man. If I say, you know, green and purple, that would look stupid. What am I supposed to say? Mississippi State is maroon and white. I wouldn't change the colors. They're fine as they are.
Why are you so angry?
That question, we get it all the time. It's like, I don't have an answer for it. I don't. What is your better question from Coleman? What is your favorite chain barbecue restaurant? Dickie's, Moe's, Corky's, Sonny's? I don't consider Corky's like a chain restaurant. They have a few locations, but they're not like Dickie's where there's one in like every state.
But where would it stack on the rest of these?
Oh, Corky's is pretty good. It's pretty good. Dickie's
is. That's Memphis. Yeah. Isn't it? That is a Memphis place. Yeah.
Dickie's is not great. Moe's okay.
Was there a Corky's in Starkville, wasn't it?
No, that was just the liquor store.
Corky's. I thought there was a Corky's barbecue. Maybe we just had that at games or something at one point.
We had Corky's. Yeah, we had the nachos. Yeah.
Old Miss, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
So
there was one in Flowood, though.
There was a Corky's?
Yes.
I don't remember that. Okay. I'll take your word for it.
I'm almost positive it was at where the Mugshots is.
Huh. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Okay. As far as chain, I'm not real big on chain barbecue restaurants. Like, if I'm going to eat barbecue, I would rather find a local place. There's always going to be one. I'm trying to think if there's one that, like, stands out for me. Like, I ate at Dickie's a couple times when they were here in Starkville. It was okay. It was just okay, though. You ever eat at Smoky Bones? That's not a bad one.
No.
I'll tell you this. You'll be surprised with this coming from me. Their cornbread was really, really good. Like, it came soaked in, like this maple butter. It was good.
Yummy. I always liked Moe's, but it wasn't really the barbecue that I liked.
Fried
it was
chicken.
The chicken.
Yeah. Like, their barbecue was just okay. It wasn't great.
And the catfish was pretty good, too.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Mac Banks Fan Club. This has haunted me for 40 years. I need you to weigh in. In Rocky 3, did Rocky believe the fight with Thunderlips was real, or was this all kayfabe? He seemed genuinely surprised when Thunderlips threw him over the top rope. Here's what I think happens here, Robbie. Rocky, if you remember, at the beginning of the fight, is like, hey, you know, let's take it easy in here. We'll move around. I hit you. You hit me. And then Thunderlips attacks him. I think Thunderlips was like, I have a chance to, like, because this is back when everybody still thinks wrestling is real, right?
Yes.
He's like, I'm just going to beat the hell out of the world heavyweight champion, and I'm going to prove to people that wrestlers are tougher than boxers. And then when Rocky got you know, realized what was happening, that's when he turned it on and he knocks him out. That's what happened.
Now, wasn't it like for charity or something?
It was for charity, yes.
Because at one point, Rocky was like, this is for the kids or something like that. And he's like, he picked him up and threw him into this crowd.
At the end of the fight, he's like, man, you went crazy out there. And Thunderlips goes, that's the idea, brother. So that's what that is. Yeah, it's supposed to be a fake fight, but Thunderlips was like, I'm gonna push this guy around. So
yeah, that was
that's my thoughts.
That was great,
Caleb Ross. I'm sorry for my idiotic question last week about what MSU would do to keep Lebby if he's successful. What I was trying to ask is, could MSU make that big a commitment to Lebby like Ole Miss has done to Kiffin? Sure. Like, there's not such a huge difference in the athletic budgets that State would just have to be like, we can't go over $4.5 million. Yeah, if State wanted to, State was going to pay Mullen like $6.5 million a year in 2017. There were 7 years later. Yeah. State could easily pay a coach $8-9 million a year. They wouldn't even have to stress to do it.
I think to keep him, if he shows any kind of success here, and you got other teams calling, just like with Lane Kiffin, you're going to have to overpay.
Yeah.
If you're going to have, like, Lane Kiffin.
Ole Miss is overpaying right now.
His contract is at the point where a bunch of teams are just like, no, we'll just go get somebody.
Alabama could have done that. The Alabama could be like, we'll pay $11 million a year, sure. But I'm trying to think of one that, like right now.
Auburn.
Yeah, like Auburn, to get him the first time, they would have been willing to pay $8 million a year. But are they willing to pay 11? Probably not.
Yeah, like he's almost like, I wouldn't say like,
it's like
there's a price where if there's some teams that would pay it, but he's almost priced out.
Yeah, there's like 8 jobs that he could take right now. Like,
yeah.
A lot of Alabama wouldn't hire him. I don't think Ohio State or Michigan would hire him.
Yeah.
Texas,
I mean, that's the thing you have to consider too, is like he's a little different than Lebby in that. You know, he's so immature, like on Twitter and stuff. I think teams just don't want to deal with that. So they're Ole Miss is right now, they're in a good spot because they got a really good coach that he hasn't done anything like really illegal or super controversial to the point where he should be canceled. He's just kind of immature.
Right.
And since he's been there, he hasn't really done anything stupid. So you basically have an elite level, like, offensive coach that is right now running a really good program, and nobody really wants him that's, like, in the blue blood area. Like, the teams that could come in and take him from you,
right?
They don't really
want
him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here, I got one, though. We talked about Oklahoma yesterday. If they fired Venables, would he go to Oklahoma?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
They want him?
Well, I think he would need to show that he would need to win here. Like he would need to win like 9-10 games or something.
Yeah, I mean, he wins 10 games. That's 3 of the last 4 years he's done 10 or more wins.
Yeah.
That's good.
Because the thing with Oklahoma is
I'm sorry. We're not having the same conversation. I'm talking about Kiffin.
Oh, Kiffin.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Yeah.
Would be an interesting fit.
That's a good fit, I think.
What are they playing Venables?
They just gave him a raise, right?
Like, would they spin like that?
He's making 8.6. Yeah. Yeah, they would.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They would give him 11. Yeah. So, there you go. All right. Also from Caleb Ross, what is your go-to song to cheer you up? What's yours? Because you had a bad day. No.
Anything 90s. I think we've had this conversation. It was like 90s music, pop, alternative, whatever, just makes me happy.
Yeah.
Even I've always made this point, and I might even last week, I can't remember. Third Eye Blind has some of the most depressing songs in the history of songs.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't tell.
That's right.
Because they're all like really happy and poppy.
Yeah.
That's how like 90s music, that's what it does to me. It doesn't matter what the lyrics are. It doesn't matter, you know, what the contents are of the story they're trying to tell. The music just makes me happy. I think because it just takes me back to childhood. Like, I feel like I'm in elementary school again when I listen to 90s music, and I can remember times where I listened to that stuff. Like, for example, if I turned on Ace of Base today, I can go back to my sister's car, and I'm sitting in the back seat, and my two sisters are in the front seats, and we're listening to All That You Want and I Saw the Sign and that kind of stuff. Like, that's what the 90s does to me.
Mine is, it has an MSU connection, but if a song that always peps me up is Your Love by The Outfield.
Oh, yeah.
Great song. Just, you can't be in a bad mood listening to that. Let's move on here. Brett Christensen asks, what are your thoughts on who State has heading to SEC Media Days? Who are you most looking forward to hearing from? I think they picked, I'm interested because Shapen, I knew was going to be the starting quarterback, but I would not have necessarily just said right off the bat, Albert Reese and John Lewis are locked into starting positions. So I find that.
I knew they would select John Lewis.
He did?
Because it's like what we talked about yesterday. They've been throwing John Lewis into the fray a lot.
That's good. That's good.
I think he's one of the leaders of the defense. Like, it seems like that's their guy to represent the defense. Albert Reese, a little surprising, but he was really good, I thought.
Yeah, he's fine. I can't wait.
In the spring.
I think he'll be popular because he's just – the voice is just so funny coming out of his
mouth. I remember when he started talking, like, you and me both looked – like, I don't remember talking to him
he
before
sounds like
that.
He sounds like me. He's like a 50-year-old
dad of two.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he was good at the end of spring when we talked to him.
Outside of that, at State, I'm interested in talking, you know, to if we get a chance to talk to Quinn Ewers, that would be interesting, you know, his thoughts. Milroe, and all the Alabama guys, really, on the first year after Saban. Two of the Ole Miss guys are interesting to me. Obviously, Dart. But Jared Ivey is a very media-savvy guy. He does a podcast. He does some media stuff. So I think he gets it, right? I think he'll be fun to talk to in that instance. Trying to think my way around who else is showing up. I'd like to talk to Harold Perkins. Just you know, such a talented player, but it feels like you're still waiting for him to have that really breakout season. He's had moments where you're like, man, this guy is super talented. Can he put it all
together? It's like they misused him.
I agree. I agree with that. So let's see here. Reggie Hankerson, morning for the rumblings. Better food, 4th of July or Thanksgiving? Okay.
Here we go. Oh.
There's no
you're a defender to the death of Thanksgiving.
There's no such thing as 4th of July food.
That's just a cookout.
It's just a cookout. I can have the 4th of July meal any day of the year. I can cook some ribs on the grill. I can make a some coleslaw and some baked beans. And
there is nothing. There's nothing that's exclusively 4th of July, unless you make that dessert thing that like is like the blueberries. That's the American flag.
Yeah. Thanksgiving is better food because that is it's actual Thanksgiving food. How many days of the year do you have a whole turkey?
Right.
Maybe two.
I definitely don't eat turkey unless it's like a sliced turkey sandwich.
Right.
But
right.
I only eat turkey on Thanksgiving, which
I will occasionally make a turkey breast on the
grill. But that's kind of my point though too, is like turkey to me, I'm just not a big fan. I know you love turkey, especially smoked turkey.
I love turkey.
But I'm just not a big fan. It can be really dry. It's not good as a leftover meal.
Yeah.
I just prefer chicken. Chicken and beef.
But the things that you eat on Thanksgiving, you know, green bean casserole, dressing, like, you know, sweet potato pie.
Sweet potato casserole.
Those are
pecan pie.
Pecan pie. Pumpkin pie. These are Thanksgiving things. Thanksgiving is the easy winner here. There is no Fourth of July food is any weekend. Thanksgiving is Thanksgiving.
Brian, I cannot wait for this year. I get the entire day at Thanksgiving to just eat and take a nap and watch football.
We got Thursday off,
I have not been able to do that in several years, and I cannot wait. When was the last time?
2020.
That's right.
That was a bad one. That was the day Samson died.
But that would have been, that would have been Thanksgiving had it not been COVID. What was the time it was like scheduled without interruptions?
2016.
Was it 16?
Mm-hmm. I think 17 was a Saturday.
16 was on a Friday, wasn't it?
I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, there you go. No, it wasn't. 2016 was on a Saturday. It was played at the same time as the Iron Bowl.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, that's that. Yeah,
I didn't get to go. I had to go cover high school basketball.
Sheldon Nations. What's one subject you think MSU could hire you to teach a class on? History of Batman.
Like not a real subject. Like you're.
Yeah. Well, what am I going to teach? American history? I don't know.
Mine would be like wrestling history or something.
That would be a good
like
one for me. Yeah, history of professional wrestling.
Or it would be like music. Music history or something like that.
How about Sopranos appreciation? I could teach that.
I could do that. Right. John Sokoloff would be professor emeritus.
Yeah. No, he would be a TA for us.
You know, he's a TA.
He's Chrissy. He's Chrissy to me.
John is the authority on it. He could probably quote you or four quotes in every single episode.
I can do the same.
Yeah, but this is a New Jersey guy. He's a New Jersey guy.
We got five families, and then we got this other thing happening in Jersey. No.
I think that John would be the authority on this.
Mm. Well, we need to have Sopranos trivia night one night, and we'll see who the real champion is.
Now, I have no doubt that you would put up a fight in that, though.
I would win.
Over John.
I would win.
The man lives and breathes Sopranos.
I'm just saying.
He's literally a part of it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Let's see here. CJ Lunsford has a question for us. With Josh Hubbard and David Mershon likely coming back, is there a short king coming back for football that could be a centerpiece of the team? I don't know about coming back, but Devon Booth is not tall. He could be
Kevin Coleman.
Kevin Coleman's not tall. Mario Craver's not very tall.
No.
So there's some options there.
Josh Hubbard is coming back, not likely.
Yes.
And who knows on Mershon, hopefully. It's so weird to me, the Mershon thing. He is not on a single top 500, I don't think. I haven't seen him projected anywhere within like the top, you know, 5, 6, 7 rounds.
Yeah.
I mean, he's nowhere to be found. I don't understand. If he still goes and he doesn't get drafted in the top 10 rounds, he just wanted to leave.
Yeah. Walking Bully asks, you need a big punt return. Do you want Tony James, Kevin Prentice, or Xavion Thomas? I want Chad Bumpus.
Over Kevin Prentice?
Yeah.
You have a little bias.
I do. But Bumpus had more touchdowns than Prentice did, didn't he?
I thought he only had like one.
I could be wrong.
Everyone went back against La Tech, maybe something like that. I don't remember.
Prentice had the one against Tennessee, and he had a kickoff return against South Carolina. Tony James, when he left, was the all-time leading return yardage leader in NCAA football history.
Where's Tulu? What? What? He has almost every record in kickoffs.
I'm just worried that it would be a yard and a half in the end zone and he'd call for a fair catch. So,
dude was pretty good at returning kicks.
He was all right. Also, considering the personnel, is 2022 Oklahoma a better comp for State's 2024 offense than 2020 Mississippi? No.
Because no, that's the one.
2022 Oklahoma had a quarterback who had 3 years of experience playing for Jeff Lebby.
Yeah, this is definitely the one because
the right one.
You're introducing a new offense to everyone with a new quarterback, basically. To me, that's the best comp that you can get. Plus, it's a comparable team.
Yeah.
Considering Mississippi State and Ole Miss are, you know, rivals. They usually recruit on about the same level. Few percentage points differences usually, but yeah.
There you go. Next one comes to us from Reed Green, who asks, do you think there will be any other X-Men in Deadpool 3? I haven't even seen Deadpool 2, so I don't.
I haven't even seen Deadpool 1.
Deadpool 1 was good. I enjoyed it, but I haven't seen the second.
Is it worth 3 installments?
I don't know. Hypothetically, if you were handed a 75-stroke lead at one of the 4 major golf tournaments heading into Sunday, and you were guaranteed to hit every shot straight, but the distance might not be far, and you were guaranteed a 2-putt at worst on every hole, could you hold on to victory? So that means to get back to even par, I got to be 75 over. So on a par 72, I'd have to shoot 147. But you're telling me that every shot's going to be straight and I'm never going to do worse than 2-putt? I don't know what the final, you know, the final tally is. Like, am I going to finish like 8 under? But I think I could be okay. Yeah, I think I could hold on in those circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it would work out in your favor.
Yeah.
You're not going to be overshooting too much.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for the rest of the – yeah. The field to catch you at that point, I feel like.
That's the other thing, too, is like I'm 75 up, right? So let's just say I'm at, let's say second place is 10 under and I'm at 85 under, which is hilarious to think about. Like,
yeah,
he's got to stay at 10 under and I have to fall back 75 spots. And I'm hitting it again. Hitting it straight is such a key, right? Even if I'm getting it 100 yards off the tee, if I'm getting an 8 on every hole, that's a final. That's a. If I get an 8 on every hole, that's a 4-4. That's a 94, right? I only shot like what 22. So,
it's going to take you 6 shots to get to the green.
Even on a par 3, yeah. But that means on a par 72, I shot a 94. I'm only plus 20. I'm only plus 22 on the day. That means I'm minus 50. 3 on the week. I won.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult for the field to catch you.
If you had said like 50,
but that
might have been something.
Well, and the big thing here is like when you get on the green, you're going to sink it in 2 shots.
In 2 shots every time. And I mean, and it says no more than
2.
Or
at worst.
There
you
might
could
be
do
trouble
it at once.
Like in 1 putt. Yeah. So yeah, there you go. That's how I'm looking.
Yeah, it's going to be really tough.
Blaine Whitehead asks, what is your airport airplane routine? Movie, podcast, or just sleep? I'll listen to a podcast most times. I don't, you know, although I will say this, I didn't have the headphones on for it. When I when I flew to Denver, the person in front of me was watching Oppenheimer and had the captions on. So I watched Oppenheimer. I couldn't help but look at it. So
you didn't, you couldn't watch it. It was like on their tablet.
I think it was. I think they, yeah, they had it on their tablet, but had it set it up, and I was just like, well, I guess I'm going to watch Oppenheimer. But
it's a good movie. I went and watched that at the theater by myself.
Now that said, I sometimes go sicko mode. Like when we're going, I'm going to Dallas, right? Flying, I think from Memphis. That's going to be like an hour flight. I'll just get on the plane, no headphones, nothing. I'll just sit there for an hour, quiet.
Oh, that's psychotic.
Yeah,
I've got to have something to read, and then while I'm reading, I usually have a podcast on.
I got you.
I can't sleep on an airplane.
I can sleep. It's got to be a long flight, but I can do it. Also, he asked, more importantly, do you wear shorts and or open-toed shoes on airplanes? I'll wear shorts. I don't wear open-toed shoes under any circumstances. Have you ever seen me in open-toed shoes?
No.
You have not. I don't own a pair.
It just depends what the weather is going to be like.
That's the key. Yeah.
If it's summertime, I'm going from Mississippi to Florida, I'm wearing shorts.
Yeah.
You know, if it's cold outside, I'm wearing jeans or something like that. A lot of times I'll wear like sandals on a plane because when you go through security, you just take the sandals off, drop them in the thing, and you walk right through. You don't have to worry about taking your shoes on and off.
I'm not ever going barefoot in an airport. It's not going to happen. Rob Hadaway, what is the audience the SEC network is trying to attract with the stupid way they do these takeovers? There's no explanation for why the way they do this, right? All people want to watch is classic football and maybe a basketball game, maybe a baseball game, maybe.
They're not trying to attract anybody.
Yeah, they're just trying to promote the programs.
Well, they're just trying to have some kind of programming going on for 2 weeks that they can get away with not having to put their own stuff.
They could put together classic these days where people, it's stuff that you want to watch and draw some ratings, but they don't want to do that. They're not interested in that for whatever reason.
This is a very difficult job to do programming in television year round. I completely understand that, but they should be taking ideas from people, and like you don't even have to take ideas. It's kind of common sense. The summer should be like classic football games the whole summer. It should, and I think that's kind of what they started doing when they first got going. Mm-hmm. You would turn on the TV, and it would be Alabama and Auburn.
The first MSU 1988 takeover or day was all classic state.
It was great
basketball. Now it's not that anymore.
Like it should be like Mississippi State versus Ole Miss in the Egg Bowl in 99, the Independence Bowl in 2000. That if you can somehow get the footage from the 1980 Alabama game, which I think is out there somewhere, and a lot of it's rights stuff, but you can't tell me that it's a rights issue when it's literally ESPN broadcasts. Like most of these broadcasts are, especially at this point, are ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't they get the rights to that? It needs to be that. It needs to be the national championship in baseball, the Final Four in basketball for the men and the women, which the men probably
where they have some rights issues because CBS.
But the women, you could.
Women, you could, for sure. The other thing that gets me, like, I haven't watched SEC Network since State got eliminated from the SEC tournament. Like, I never turned it on.
I never just turn it on.
Yeah. Also from Rob, this is all Brian's fault, isn't it? I'm going to read you this post here. Good evening. My name is Hope Baker, division manager for Waffle House. I just wanted to inform everyone that starting Friday, July 12th, all four of Vicksburg locations will be to go only from 11 p.m. to 6:30 a.m. on Friday and Saturday nights. We'll also increase security. I apologize for any inconveniences may cause, but ultimately the decision is being made for the safety of our employees and customers. Thank you for understanding, and I'll see you in the restaurants. This is the second person who's asked me about this. Steve Robertson sent me a text like, I know this is your fault. I'm already banned from the Waffle House on Washington Street by the bridge. So I had nothing to do with this.
What did you do?
I didn't do anything. I didn't do it. I was with a group. One of my friends decided to do something dumb. It wasn't even really that dumb. But then he just kept aggravating the situation. And in doing so, we got us banned. Now, look, this was like in 1995.
You can go in there now.
But is it worth the risk, Robbie? There's three other Waffle Houses I can go to in Vicksburg.
What's the risk?
What if they got a picture of me up? They're like, get that guy, arrest him.
That would be awesome. Then you could go in there and be like, look at this, baby. I still got it.
30 years later, got arrested.
They're still talking about,
Yeah.
So what? So there was a fight, I'm guessing, in this.
No.
I'm talking about this. This particular.
Yeah. Obviously, they've had some issues with people coming in there and being unruly. So.
Oh my God! I mean, you knew it. Who wants to go get to go orders from Waffle House? Is part of the experience.
You don't need to be driving. You're probably
part of the experience is going in there and you not knowing what's going to happen.
Exactly. So
we used to go in there like as late as like 20 years ago. Not that long.
Yeah.
15 years ago, and like when we first got in college, we thought it was so cool to go in there and smoke cigarettes. Like we just like smoke a cigarette and eat like dinner / breakfast.
Yeah.
And that wasn't that long ago. We could still smoke cigarettes in there.
Yeah. An ashtray on every table. All right. Last question for the day from Perry Cafeteria. Rank these oddly satisfying smells. New shower curtain, fresh tennis balls, new shoes, Sharpie, rubber cement, gasoline. I would not suggest smelling gasoline or rubber cement. That can harm you. I wouldn't go that.
Probably going to kill some brain cells, I guess.
A Sharpie has a pleasant aroma. I'll grant you. I think the correct answer here is new car, though. New car smell is the best random smell.
Love it.
Freshly cut grass, number one, as well.
Why did you leave off Rob's question about the Muppet Princess Bride?
That's a lot of people. I don't want to get into having to cast. Yes. I mean, obviously, Kermit is the Dread Pirate Roberts Wesley, and Miss Piggy would be
Miss Piggy is yes,
and then is Sam the Eagle, Andre the Giant's character? Is he Fezzik? Who's the biggest Muppet? Who's the big bird there?
I was just thinking about Sesame Street. So then right. I was gonna be like Snuffleupagus or something.
Fezzik, a real person. Maybe we get like the Big Show for that.
Okay, so that like yeah, that's an,
well, I guess we're gonna do this
because they have big people on there all the time.
I guess we're gonna do this then. So
we're gonna do it.
All right. So then Indigo Montoya needs to be a Muppet. So is that Gonzo?
Could be. Yeah. Okay.
And then, Who's Vicini?
One of the guys that sits in the balcony. Okay. One of the old guys.
I know who you're talking about. Statler and the other one. I can't remember his name. I think the prince needs to be a real person so that we have that final showdown between Kermit the Frog and a real person. So who's a douchebag? Who's just a jerk actor? You see him and you're like, I hate that guy.
So that's a real person.
Yeah.
The prince.
Who's
Prince Humperdinck? What was his name? Prince Humperdinck.
When you see somebody, who is that guy? He's like,
now for me, it's Sir Criston and Sir Criston Cole in The House of the Dragon, who actually looks
enough
very like much right. alike.
Go with it. And
Prince
then
Humperdinck.
The six fingered man, Count Rugen, would be a Muppet. So that's going to be who's somebody? I'm trying to think.
He's a bad guy too, isn't he?
There's not a lot of bad guy Muppets. So that's the problem is we got to make some Muppets bad guys. So Beaker.
Meep meep.
What's the other guy's name? Not Beaker. What's the guy? The other guy. The guy who's like the scientist.
On Princess Bride?
No, in the Muppets. The guy who's always with Beaker.
With the crazy hair?
Yes.
Oh, I forgot his name. No, Beaker's got the crazy hair. The scientist has got the glasses with the bald glasses. Head,
What's
right?
What's his name? Bunsen.
Yes.
Bunsen, okay. So Bunsen is Count Rugen. And then Beaker is the guy in the torture chamber, the pale guy.
Billy Crystal?
No, Miracle Max. No, not Miracle Max. The guy who's down in the with the torture machine, who's like all pale and pasty.
The albino.
The albino, yes.
Yes.
Beaker. That's Beaker. And then Miracle Max is Fonzie. It's Fozzie Bear.
Yes.
Because, I mean, they're both comedians, right? And then
I don't know another girl.
Yeah, there's not another female
Muppet.
Muppet. And is that it?
Well, what about the guy that plays the drums?
Animal?
The Muppet Animal.
Where would Animal fit in here? Could he just be the priest at the wedding? Woof!
Malwidge.
Malwidge is what brings us here today. Yes.
Malwidge is what brings us here today.
You know my favorite line from A Princess Bride? I'll tell you what it is. It's where they have they're going to take the castle, and it's Inigo and Fezzik and Wesley, and they have the guy who's like the leader of the militia, and he's like, "Give me the key." It's like, "I have no key." And Inigo goes, "Okay." Fezzik, tear his arms off. And the guy goes, "Oh, you mean this key?" That makes me laugh every time. Oh, this key.
It's that is a very subtly like funny movie.
Oh,
like
hilarious. It's
hilarious. They're so not funny. Really over the top with it.
Oh, no, it's great. It's great. All right, you sold me. We there you go. There you go.
So we got to think about what about Fred Savage's character.
Well, I mean, those need to be.
He doesn't count.
Yeah, those need to be human. So the only two humans we had were Fezzik and Prince Humperdinck. Do we need another human in here? Are we sure we're good?
Well, I mean, unless you just want to go with the, like...
I guess the two people at the beginning could be...
Fred human. Savage and Peter Falk.
Yeah, those two roles there. So, yeah. Okay, there you go. All right. We'll be back tomorrow with another show for you, and we'll be talking about some MSU sports on that one. Guys, have a great Wednesday. Back with you on Thursday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
The acclaimed, top of the chain, so I bet you know the name. Getting all the fans entertained. The acclaimed, running in the game, and we in our own lane. Everybody saying that they want to be acclaimed.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.